ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And tonight we're going to finish up Paul's second letter to the church in Thessalonica. And in our study of this letter, we've broke it down into three main points, which really corresponds to these three chapters of this letter. And we saw that Paul wrote, first of all, to these Thessalonian believers to give them encouragement in suffering. And we saw that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Listen to what Paul said here. He said, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation or with affliction those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." Paul encourages them by telling them he's boasting about them, about their faith in the Lord. And he wants them to hang in there because this persecution is what happens to believers. And in the end, God is going to deal with those who are persecuting them. They're not going to get away with anything. Rest in the Lord, and thus we see this encouragement and suffering. Well, secondly, Paul wrote to them, giving them enlightenment about the day of the Lord. And we saw that last time in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul taught them eschatology, or last days, end times doctrine. But now they were confused because people were coming in and giving false prophecies by the Spirit. There were false teachers giving out false doctrine by word. And there was a false letter supposedly from Paul saying they were in the day of the Lord and they either missed the rapture of the church or there was no such thing as the rapture of the church. So Paul clears up that mess and shows them that the day of the Lord has not started. The rapture has to come first, and then the unveiling of the Antichrist, that is the start of the day of the Lord. The persecution they were facing in Thessalonica was from Satan. During the tribulation period, it's the wrath of God that's being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. Big difference. Again, listen to what he says in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, starting in verse 1. He says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" And how important that is. They knew the truth. Paul taught them the truth, and these false teachers with their false doctrine had come in and confused them, and that's exactly what false teachers and false doctrine does. It confuses people. And Paul concludes 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 by saying, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And thus, we see here that Paul has given them enlightenment about the day of the Lord. Well, tonight as we finish up this letter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul is going to write to them regarding the establishment of Christian living. Paul is calling for them to walk accordingly, to walk in the light of God by the grace of God given to them. He calls for them really to withdraw from those who are disorderly or not following the doctrine that God has established in his word. He calls for those who were lazy, just sitting back and waiting for the Lord to return, I guess, and they were busybodies, not doing anything, not working. Thus, this is really a practical section where the rubber meets the road, you might say. The application of sound doctrine to our lives or walking worthy of the high calling by which we've been called. And the key here is knowing that the Lord can return at any moment for his bride, the church. We need to be prepared. So let's pick up 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. Paul wrote this, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." Now, it's interesting, when you look at what Paul's praying for, it's really vastly different from what we hear today many times. You know, we hear prayers for, you know, more money, bigger homes, more this and that, you know, bigger churches, bigger buildings, more people. But that's not Paul's prayer, which is kind of interesting. It was not to increase in wealth or prosperity or numbers or anything like that, but to build up, to strengthen believers. There's nothing wrong in praying for the salvation of believers, to see the kingdom of God growing. That's important. But, you know, Paul's concern was for them to grow in the Lord. And Paul knew that it would be accomplished as the word of God had the freedom to kind of speed on or to make progress in a believer's life. It's not wishful thinking here. This is what God has promised to us in his word. That as the word of God is spoken, it's going to accomplish in our hearts what the Lord sent it to do. In fact, that's what he said in Isaiah 55:11. He said, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Do we believe that? I do. That's why I teach God's word, you know, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Because I know it will accomplish in each heart what God has sent it to do. He will minister to the people of God. Here at the church, those listening on the radio, the internet, we just need to be open to receive it. That's really the key. Warren Wiersbe gives us this insight on the lack of trust in the Word of God and instead trying to draw people by all kinds of other means. And you tell me if this is not the church today. Too much Christian work these days is accomplished by human plans and promotion, and not by the Word of God. We trust our programs and not the Word of God. The universe was created and sustained by the Word of God. Surely His Word can accomplish His work in this world. By the preaching of the Word in the pulpit has too often been replaced by the entertainment of the world on the platform. Dr. Donald Coggan has said of Christian pastors, "It is their task to feed the sheep, not to entertain the goats." Absolutely. And think about this, because I think many miss out on this point that Jesus made in what we call the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, listen to what Jesus said, but listen to the whole thing. Don't just listen to the part of going out into all the world, but listen to what he says. "Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" And that's where people end many times. But that's not where Jesus ended. He said, "Teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Yes, we are to share our faith, bring people to Jesus, into the kingdom of God, but that's not where it stops. You see, think about this. You don't bring a child into the world and then let them go on their own. Good luck. A newborn baby. Hope you make it. We'd say that's the most ridiculous thing, and yet we do it with Christians all the time. We're street witnessing someone get saved, and then we say, "Hey, praise God." That's it? Now you're just leaving them to go find a church? To go get trained up? That's wrong. And I've spoken to too many people who do that. We are to teach them the things of God, make them disciples of Jesus. That was Paul's prayer for these believers. And he knew if their faith grew, as they matured in the faith, healthy sheep will naturally reproduce. The church will grow. They will witness of Jesus to others. Today we put the cart in front of the horse, you might say, and the church in America is maybe 3,000 miles wide, but it's an inch deep. There's no spiritual growth to it. And thus they are deceived very easily. And not only that, Paul also prayed that the word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, would be glorified, it'd be honored. I don't see that too often today. We hear people say that the word of God is a guidebook. It's not the word of God from the lips of God. Some feel it's nothing more than stories that have some kind of spiritual application, and we have to determine what it is. Others feel that these are just the words of man and not the words of God. Others say it's a book of myths. Some say, you know, it's boring. Yeah, you can teach it, but not for a long period of time. But listen to the response of the people to God's word as Paul shared in Antioch in Pisidia. This is in Acts 13, verses 42 through 49. And we're told this. Luke wrote, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that those words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.' Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region." Yeah, man, when they heard the word of God and they heard what God had for them, they glorified not only God, but his word, because his word spoke to their hearts. The word of God speaks of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said to the Jewish religious leaders? "You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that would testify of me." The word of God is showing us Jesus. Never forget that. We need to have a love for God's word and give God's word glory in the sense of obeying it. You know, we don't worship the word of God. We worship the Lord. The word of God reveals the Lord to us. You know, I remember when I first got saved, I have never heard the Bible verse by verse taught. I never even heard the Bible taught before. And I couldn't get enough because God was speaking to me, showing me about himself and about me. And here I am some, you know, 35 plus years later, and I still love God's word because God's word continues to speak to me today. He shows me things I need to learn, things I need to apply to my life. And here's the thing, anytime God is working, Satan is working and will try to stop the work. We see it with the Jews in Pisidia. As Paul was speaking the word of God and the Gentiles were getting saved, they rose up and tried to stop it. They were instruments of Satan. And here, you know, Paul's praying against these guys here in 2 Thessalonians. These wicked men who are fighting against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that should be our prayer also, to be delivered from ungodly men who try to put out the light of God's word, or that the light of God's word would be illuminated by the Spirit of God and transform the lives of these wicked men, that they would see the truth and come to saving faith. Either way, God's word is never, ever changed. I don't care what the enemy might say. You know, in our nation at some point, they may say the word of God, the Bible, is a book of hateful things and you can't teach it anymore, or you can't teach out of this book of the Bible. I'm sorry, who do I obey, God or men? I'm going to obey God. I teach it verse by verse. That's just the way it is. But boy, we need to pray to continue speaking forth the word of God with power. And, you know, one of the problems with those who have turned away from the word of God is that as you show them through the word of God that what they are believing is wrong, what they're teaching is wrong, they refuse to accept it and they continue down that path away from God. I've seen it far too often in the last 25 years, and it's so dangerous. These false teachers with their false doctrines sow discourse in the church, sometimes even division. So we need to be careful. We need to bring everything in the light of God's word. I don't care how good someone sounds. Deception is deception. They're going to trick you. They're going to fool you. They're going to use fancy words. But are those fancy words in accordance to the word of God? And there's the key. Be careful. Deception is a huge part of the last day's scenario, and it's growing. Look at verse 3 here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul wrote, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." Now, here we read that Paul is saying God will guard you from the evil one. Well, how does that play out? I mean, we look at our lives, we see all kinds of problems, right? How can Paul tell us that God is guarding our lives and yet there's all this persecution against us? We face all these difficulties, the threat of death even for some believers. So how does it play out? What is up with that? Listen to what one writer wrote. He said, "This does not mean we will not suffer difficulties, hardships, or even martyrdom, as was obvious from their own experiences. But it does mean that nothing can overcome those who belong to Christ. God is in control, and he keeps a protective guard around the believer. When Christians experience harm or even death because of righteousness, it's not evil which triumphs, but the plan of God which succeeds." And think about that. You're put to death for your faith. Where do you go? You're home with Jesus. I mean, it's not like they won. And you look at, in the early church, when Christians were brought to the Colosseum and they were being put to death. And as they're being put to death, they're praising God. They're singing songs of praise to God. Thousands of people are watching, and it touched their hearts. So much so that down the road, they stopped that kind of martyrdom. They thought it was horrible because of the witness of these people. I wonder how many in those stands got saved because of their witness. These people knew where they were going. Death couldn't hold them. They were going home. You know, Peter in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11 said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be on alert." And he goes on, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." How do we resist the devil? In our faith in Christ. We rest in him, even though persecution may come, difficult times may come. We stand strong in the faith, knowing that the Lord is going to see us through each and every time. Let me share this with you to show you how we're to forge ahead, keep our eyes on Jesus, and remember that he is sufficient to see us through anything that comes our way. He's our commander-in-chief, you might say. There's a story of an old Navajo Indian in Arizona who became very, very wealthy when oil was discovered on his land. But the wealth didn't change him at all. He went on living just as he had before while the money piled up in the bank. Every now and then, however, the old man would visit the bank and say to the banker, "Crops all dried up, sheep all dead, cattle all stolen." Well, the banker, he knew exactly what to do. He would take the old man into the vault, seat him at a table, place several bags of silver dollars in front of him to count. And after a while, the man would come out and say, "Crops fine, sheep all alive, cattle all back." Why the change? He reviewed his resources and reminded himself of what he had to fall back on. And that's what we as believers have to do when pressure comes upon our lives. When we feel like complaining and murmuring, worrying, being anxious, we have to remember who we are in him and what he's promised for us in times of stress. There's a young pastor that had called and he was in despair. A crisis had erupted in his church and everything seemed to be falling apart. His ministry of preaching the truth and power had come under the attack of the enemy. And, you know, when it's tough like that, he was ready to give up. And this other gentleman settled him back down and step by step went over what God had made him to be, what his resources were. and what and whom he could count on. He reminded him of the Israelites at the edge of the Red Sea. God didn't say to them, go out into the water and drown. He told them, I will see you through to the other side. And isn't that what God is saying to us? No matter what you're going through, I'm going to see you through to the other side. Stand firm. When Peter was called out by Jesus out of the boat on the Sea of Galilee to walk on the water, he did. I mean, it was a miracle. His eyes were on Jesus. Jesus said, come out, Peter. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. And he's walking on water. And then he sees the waves crashing. And he's wondering, I can't walk on water. Look at these waves. I'm going to drown. And what happens? His eyes were off of Jesus, right? Now they're on the situation. And he starts to sink. And what did Jesus do? I told you, Peter, keep your eyes on me. Come on, you loser. No. Jesus reaches out his hand and lifts Peter up. We can lose sight of the Lord and start looking at our surroundings and we start to sink. And then we think, oh, how could God love me? Look at me, I'm such a failure. And God's there, just take a hold of my hand. I'm right here. Let me lift you up. Don't listen to the devil, listen to the Lord. He's teaching us through all these situations we face. We stand strong in the Lord. And yet the enemy loves to discourage us and we drop out. Don't let him. Paul is encouraging these Thessalonian believers to fall back on the character of God, that he loves us, that he's in control, that he knows everything that is happening to us, and he's going to see us through. He's going to protect us. He will see us through to the other side. I like that. I take comfort in that. He is going to see us through to the other side. For me, I don't want to be driving. I don't want to be in control because I get lost. When I was out in Arizona, I went running and I got lost. Thank God I took my phone with me and my wife was tracking me at the hotel room. And I'm running. I'm going, wow, this doesn't look familiar. And all of a sudden my phone's ringing. And Julie goes, are you lost? I'm like, well, I don't know. She goes, well, are you going north or south? I said, Julie, if I know if I'm going north or south, east or west, I know where I was going. I have no idea where I'm going. I'm lost. And finally, obviously, I made it back because I'm here. But the Lord knows where to take us, right? You keep your eyes on him and you're not going to get lost. But isn't it easy for us to think, I know I'm taking this route? No, keep your eyes on the Lord. He's going to see us through to the other side. He's going to protect us. And here's the thing. Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16:18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And Jesus' point is this, that the church is built upon Jesus Christ. Not the Petros, not the little rock, not Peter, but Petra. The big rock, the huge boulder, it's built upon Jesus Christ, that he is God, and Satan will not overcome the Lord's church. He will not have victory over it, even though Satan does persecute it. You see, the Lord uses that to strengthen his people. It's where we grow, in the valley of the shadow of death, as our Lord leads us through it. Now, I'll give you an example. And this is from 2005, but some of the persecution in China. Open Doors International reports that some of the fastest growing house churches in the world are located in China. They say an estimated 60 to 80 million are Christians in China, making it one of the most heavily populated Christian countries in the world. They also say, unfortunately, it also makes Chinese believers one of the largest bodies of persecuted Christians in the world, especially those who worship in unregistered house churches, which includes an estimated 75% of all Christians in China. Pastors are thrown into prison. The distribution of Bibles and Christian literature is restricted, especially in the countryside. And the interesting thing is, China will allow registered churches to continue on because they monitor them. It's the unregistered Bible-teaching churches that they come after, because they're not following the Chinese rules. We see in the Middle East right now, heavy persecution amongst those who come out of the Muslim faith into Christianity. Many are martyred for their faith. More Christians are martyred today than any other time in church history. And I guarantee you, they are dying for what they believe, the truth. In America, we have the coronavirus and Christians are terrified by it. You know what? Why do we have the spirit of fear? I don't understand that. If Christ is for us, who could be against us? Does that mean that no Christians will get the coronavirus? No. But is God in control? Be wise, trust in Him, and walk in the power of God.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.